Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, Stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on men and beasts. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To thee lift up I mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Marvel. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others to test him kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last day of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel.
Who spoke by the prophets, and I Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, from the 11th chapter of St. Luke, the 20th through the 23rd verses. Jesus said, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." I suspect that no one would disagree that we live in a world filled with conflict, large and small, foreign and domestic, secular and religious, and also that personal conflict which is seemingly inescapable in this fallen world. But in the Gospel for this day, the Lord Jesus points us to the fundamental conflict in the world. Yes, the conflict which underlies all the others. The conflict between our good and merciful Creator and that ancient enemy of God and of the whole human race. In today's Gospel, Jesus calls Satan Beelzebul. It seems that Beelzebul was originally the name of a Canaanite god, but over time the word passed into use as a name for Satan. It seems that Beelzebul might also mean the Lord of the Flies, and that is why we had that Old Testament lesson today about the plague of flies in Egypt. You and I, and every human being who has ever lived or will ever live, are not mere observers in this conflict between God and the Prince of Darkness. But whether we like it or not, whether we're even aware of it or not, we are in fact caught in this conflict our whole life long. And what Satan so very much wants is to dull our awareness of this conflict, and if he can, completely to obliterate any sense of it at all, because then he can go about his evil purposes undetected. In today's Gospel, our Lord compares Satan to a strong man, a great warrior in full armor, keeping his own palace quite safe. The sad truth is that the old evil foe, having once gained a footing in this world through the fall of our first parents, has in fact never ceased to occupy, one after another, the houses and hearts, the souls and bodies of human beings. Born as we are with the infection of original sin, Each one of us is by nature a dwelling place of the Prince of Darkness, a place where he tries to do all the mischief he possibly can. And so long as God permits this, Satan has his own way with people. There's no struggle, no distress, no misgiving of conscience. People, in fact, come to be past feeling. They give themselves over to sin, eager to indulge their every wish, and they go contentedly down the broad way that leads to destruction. This is the condition of all who are, as the apostle says, without God in the world. A condition that is the more fearful the less human beings are aware of it. And it is from this natural condition of bondage to Satan and his wiles that God delivered you and me when we were baptized. As St. Paul writes, God delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Or as Paul says in the epistle for this day, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Or as the Lord Jesus once said to Paul, I send you to open men's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. There was, in fact, a time when, in the liturgy of Holy Baptism, the pastor would express this wonderful change by saying to the person about to be baptized, depart, unclean spirit, and give place to the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said at the end of his temptation in the wilderness, be gone, Satan. The Lord Jesus is himself that warrior stronger than Satan, who will not let that tyrant possess his goods, his ill-gotten goods, which are our souls and bodies, in a deceptive kind of peace. He vanquishes this tyrant. The very beginning of the human story, immediately after the fall, God promised that the seed of woman would bruise the serpent's head, though the serpent would bruise his heel. Through his passion and death, Christ crushed the serpent's head, exposing him for the liar and destroyer he in fact is, and by atoning for all our many sins, robbed Satan of his power successfully to accuse and destroy any who take refuge in Jesus, the triumphant seed of the woman. The Son of God took from Satan all his armor, which he relied on. And what is Satan's armor? It is Satan's power, his deceit, his power in the world, the honor given him by poor, deceived mortals. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the powerful one who robs Satan of all his might, including his power to dull and even silence the consciences of those of us who have been brought out of darkness into the light of Christ, who pardons sin and bestows his Holy Spirit to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify us pardoned sinners, and keep us securely in the holy ark of the Christian Church. The danger, of course, is that having been awakened from the sleep of ignorance and lethal complacency, we can so easily be lulled to sleep again and led in the paths of darkness, becoming eager participants in the unfruitful works of darkness, our hearts hardened, our ears closed to the Holy Spirit, who says through St. Paul, as we heard in the epistle, "Sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Lest we misunderstand Paul's condemnation of crude joking, Paul isn't talking about the sense of humor, which is one of God's many delightful gifts. Instead, Paul is pointing to the kind of joking which can so easily deteriorate into obscenity, into laughing at behavior unworthy of Christians, which in fact poisons and damages the hearts and minds of those who would indulge in it. St. Paul says, "At one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is found in all that is good and holy and true." Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is found in all that is good and right and true. As we noted last Sunday, St. Paul not only exposes the ugliness of sin, he points to the beauty of holiness. Both the words of the Lord Jesus in today's Gospel and the words of St. Paul in today's epistle are an earnest word of warning against complacency in the face of the devil, the fallen world, and our own frail mortal human nature. You might say they're a kind of wake-up call. In fact, just a little further on in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he cites some words which are almost certainly part of an ancient Christian baptismal hymn. "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." We need not, as God's redeemed children, spend our lives in fear, but we are called to be aware of the conflict in which we live until that day when our gentle and merciful Savior takes us out of this world to undisturbed peace in his nearer presence. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now stand and pray for the church and for the world. O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you did so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Grant that we may ponder in our hearts all that your Son has done for us and steadfastly follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember your holy church throughout the world, and especially the churches united to us in sacred communion and life. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all the ministers of your holy word and sacraments, that they may truly and faithfully serve you to the glory of your holy name and to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. Lord, in your mercy, guide and direct the President of the United States and the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, and all the rulers of the earth, that we and all peoples may live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy upon the sick and the sorrowing, the forsaken and the despondent, and all those who are in any adversity, especially all persecuted Christians, and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy, we remember before you all those who have departed this life in the faith of Christ, and pray that we may be made partakers with them in the glorious resurrection to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, and grant that all we who shall here receive the most precious body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sins together with the gifts of life and salvation, may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints in light. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we join in singing the next hymn, the congregation may be seated. You don't need to remain standing. And the next hymn is hymn 628. 628.
Thank you.